Yes, well, I mean, this is an extremely interesting world as Rome is just on the rise. I suppose the obvious starting point is Alexander the Great. His career, he brings or stretches the Greek world to India and to Afghanistan and Egypt. And in the aftermath of Alexander, his kingdom breaks down into, or his empire breaks down into three major units: the Ptolemies in Egypt, the Seleucids in the central part of the world, and the Antigonids in Greece. So they were the big boys, and there were lots of smaller states who had to relate somehow or other politically to these main guys. In Greece, there were two leagues that grew up: an Aetolian League in the north central part of Greece and the Achaean League in the Peloponnese. And they became the dominant elements, along with Macedon. They became the dominant local elements, let's say, and the relationship of them with the king of Macedon was a matter of constantly changing nature, but and constantly important. So I suppose it's on that world, it's into that world that Rome breaks. In the course of the 3rd century, would you say a reasonably stable world emerges? Yes, I think it does. It begins to become clear where the Ptolemies are, the center is, and the Seleucids, and the perhaps Greece, the Antigonids, Asia Minor, slightly more complicated. But there's a world that begins to develop of, I would have thought, reasonable stability, certainly an exciting world. It used to be dismissed as not proper Greek history, not proper Roman history. That world then is disturbed by the arrival of the superpower. I mean, Rome had been extending in the Italian peninsula since its beginnings, but by the mid part of the 3rd century, say, well, 240, after they've defeated Carthage for the first time, there is now a serious power on the prowl, really. The nature of Roman imperialism has been much discussed, and on the whole, I think to see Rome as an aggressive imperial power, it is certainly more right than wrong. They used to be rather comfortable, I suppose, 19th century imperialist ideas of gentleman imperialism, not really looking for empire, but stumbling on an empire. But Rome was consistently aggressive, a highly militaristic society. And it's really that relationship now that develops between Rome and the Eastern Mediterranean that Polybius was massively interested in. He was drawn into it himself because in 168, the Romans defeated the king of Macedon, Perseus. This was the third Macedonian war. They fought a number of them. And after that war, Rome got tired with the Greeks and deported 1,000 leading Achaeans, and others actually, but from Achaea, 1,000 leading politicians. And Polybius gets carted over to Italy, where he spent an extremely interesting time in Rome, becoming friendly with the famous Cornelii Scipiones, the famous Scipio family. So he becomes part of the process. He was a leading Greek politician in the Achaean League and headed for the top. So his career gets interrupted, really, by the intervention of Rome in Greek affairs. And I don't know, he'd already, I think, been interested in how do you forge relationships in this newly developing world? What should Achaea, this league of states from the Peloponnese, what should they do to relate to Macedon, first of all, but then more than anything, Rome? How do we deal with this growing giant? Difficult question, and Polybius doesn't have the answers, but I think he certainly enlarges the general discourse of how smaller powers might deal with a superpower, you know?